2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "And the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, 'See now the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell.' So he answered, 'Go.' Then one said, 'Please consent to go with your servants.' And he answered, 'I will go.' So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.' So the son of God said, 'Where did it fall?' And he showed him with the place. So he cut off the stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, 'Pick it up for yourself.' So he reached out his hand and took it." Well, I don't know about a lot of you, but I have a tendency of losing things once in a while. I lose some things, and one of the number one things that I lose is my keys. That's a weekly thing for me. I really struggle with that. You need to pray for me. I actually just found a key set I lost 2 years ago in my garage. I'm like, well, there it is, finally. Don't need you now. I've already got spares. But I'm constantly losing stuff. Of course, I'm kind of the typical husband, you know, that where your wife says, "Hey, can you go get something for me? It's in the cabinet." And I'm looking. It's like, "Babe, it's not here. I don't see it at all." And she comes in. It's like, "Right here." I'm like, "I don't know if you just pulled a magic trick or something, but I did not see that there." I'm constantly doing that. I don't know what it is, but I have a tendency of losing things, and I lose my keys. I lose my wallet once in a while. That's a terrible thing to lose, and I'm just misplacing stuff. I think I need to go back to the wallet with the chain. I don't know if it's like the biker chain. I had one of those in high school where it was attached to your pants and your wallet, so that way it just stays attached to me. I can never lose it. I lose that. I lose my sunglasses once in a while. I've got 3 or 4 pairs, and oftentimes they're on my head. That's where I find them, and I'm struggling to find them, but they're always on my head. But another thing that I'm constantly losing now is I have AirPods. I don't know if anybody has any AirPods or wireless earbuds, but I'm constantly losing these things. They've actually been through the washing machine once, and surprisingly, they actually still work. But I'm constantly losing them. In fact, I've lost one of my left earbuds, so if you come across one of those, please let me know, because I can't find it. So I'm constantly just losing stuff, and I don't know if this is a result of having kids, you know, or something, or maybe I'm just not as sharp in my mind, and I need to take my grandma's advice and do more crossword puzzles or something like that. I don't know what it is, but I lose things from time to time, and I think we as people, we do that once in a while. You may be better than me, or you may lose more things, but this morning, you may have not lost your keys or your wallet or maybe your sunglasses or your AirPods, but for some of us this morning, some of us may have lost something. I think some of us, maybe possibly today, have lost our edge. Maybe some of us have lost our cutting edge, our spiritual edge. And when I'm talking about our cutting edge, I'm talking about our passion. If I could define what passion is, it's that thing that gives us that cutting edge. And if I were the enemy of your life, your adversary, what I would do is try to drain you of your passion. Drain you of all your passion. Wrap your life up in apathy. That's what I would try to do, to try to get you content with the way that your life is currently, satisfied with the way things are, that you don't move forward or gain progress in God. You just go through the motions. You just do the duty and the routine to make you as ineffective as possible. That's what I would do as your enemy. I know I can't defeat you, but I want to make you as ineffective as possible, make you stuck, keep you from going forward, and drain you of all your passion, to disinterest you of spiritual things, of the Word of God, of the Spirit of God, and to get you in that place where you're just drained of all your passion. And some of us this morning, we may have lost our cutting edge and our spiritual edge, our passion. Maybe it's a passion for God's presence, to get in His presence, to get in God's house, to get in His Word. We've lost maybe a passion for His Word, a passion to pray in the Holy Ghost, maybe a passion to give, a passion to serve, a passion to know who Holy Spirit is. A passion maybe to see God do the impossible, do the miraculous, maybe for God to move, to see heaven invade earth. Maybe we've lost a little bit of our passion with our walk with God. Have you lost a little bit of your cutting edge? And if you look over your life, maybe the past few months or few years, because you look at your life and say, you know what, I was gaining ground in God. I was moving forward in the things of God. Man, I was growing in my faith. There was a passion for God and maybe the Word of God. I was excited about what God was doing in my life. I was falling deeper in love with Jesus. If you could take an evaluation of your life right now, could you say the same thing today? Are you still moving forward? Are you still growing in the things of God? Are you still growing in God? Are you still excited about maybe God's house and what the Spirit of God is doing in your life? Is the Word of God having an impact on your life? Or have you lost your spiritual edge? That spiritual edge, that sharpness that cuts through the spirit realm and gives us that cause to move forward. You know, I don't know if a lot of you remember the first time you got born again. For some of us, it's been a really long time. And for some of us, it's not been that long. But if you go back and remember the first time you encountered Jesus, do you remember what that was like? Do you remember what it was like for the first time encountering him and who he was? And it's like, man, this is amazing. I can't get enough of this. I can't contain it. It's like you get in the Word of God and you just don't open it once, but multiple times a day. And you're like, man, God is speaking to me over and over and just overwhelming me. Do you remember maybe what that was like and saying, you know, I just want to worship you and get in your presence and there's nothing like it. I just want to stay here forever. I don't want to leave. Or maybe when you go into prayer and it's like Jesus is right there with you in the room. It's like one-on-one, he's there. You sense his presence. And you have like this passion, like, I can't contain this. I've got to tell everybody about Jesus. The world all around me has got to know of his goodness and of his love and what he's done in my life. I just can't contain it. There's just like a fire down deep in my soul that's exploding in my life. Do you remember what that was like? But for some of us along the way, as we walk, that fire is kind of diminished and we get dull and it becomes routine and duty and we lose the zeal and a little bit of the passion. But I believe God wants to restore the spark again in your walk with Christ today. Where I wake up every single day and say, you know what, I'm alive in Christ today. My heart is fully alive. My life is fully alive because of what Jesus has done. I pray that we wouldn't be a routine Christian, just going through the motions, doing the duty, but there would be a passion and a fire in each and every one of us that we just couldn't contain. I say, God, set us on fire for you, for your word, for your presence, and what you're doing right now. Don't let us fall in apathy and be wrapped up in apathy and be drained of passion right now. Say, God, renew our passion, restore our zeal, and restore that spark with our walk with you. And you say, you know what? Maybe I've lost my cutting edge. I've lost a little bit of my spark. How do I get it back? And I really want to look at 2 Kings in this story and draw some things out of that this morning, because I believe there's some things we can pull out of it that will help us. In 2 Kings, we're looking at a prophet by the name of Elisha. And Elisha, he had a successful ministry. He had a ministry for like 50 years. And Elisha did some incredible miracles. He really did. I mean, he raised a woman's son back to life. He healed a leper. He provided oil miraculously for a widow. He cured water. And one of the interesting, I don't know if you've ever read this in the Bible, there's a miracle that I guess you'd call it a miracle. I don't know. But I guess Elisha didn't have much hair. I don't know. I guess he was bald. And there's some kids that were making fun of him. And I don't know if they're calling, hey, Baldy. What's up, Baldy? And it says that he called some bears out of the woods to eat them. And that's what happened. I mean, that's in your Bible. Have you read that? It's like, what? You know what the story and the lesson is of that? You don't mess with a bald man. They're serious. You don't mess with them. You're like, yeah, that's right. You don't mess with me. You know, we'll call them fire down from heaven and stuff like that. It's like, what? That's in the Bible. He did some crazy, interesting miracles, and he does another one in 2 Kings. But to give it some context of what's going on here, there's a band of prophets that's following Elisha. They have like this Bible college, or it's a school, it's a training center. This was not uncommon in that day. It dates back to Samuel's day. They had these. And there's these prophets that are learning how to be a prophet, and they're being trained in the things of God, the law of God, and the history of God's people, and the things concerning the Spirit. And they get to a place where they're flourishing, and they're growing, and they're like, we need a building program. We're getting so large here, we need to expand and build a bigger building that can contain us all. So what they do is they go down to by the Jordan, and they begin to build stuff and chop down trees. And it says that one of the young prophets, he had borrowed an axe. And I don't know, maybe he couldn't afford one. I mean, he's in college, maybe he didn't have much money. I don't know, but he borrowed an axe. I'm sure he was driven and motivated, and he's just chopping along. And all of a sudden, as he's chopping, that axe head flies off and goes, whoop, right in the river. And I'm sure he's like, oh my gosh, I just lost the axe head. What do I do? And the reason why he was so concerned, because there was not a Lowe's or a Home Depot where you could get a replacement. I mean, this was a valuable commodity. You couldn't just pick one up. It's like, how am I going to pay this guy back? How am I going to get another one? And this is the reason why I don't borrow tools from people, because I end up like this guy. It's like, man, I'm sorry, I broke your saw. I don't know if I got too aggressive, but you know, I don't know what happened, but here, I bought you a new one. But I normally end up like that guy. I end up breaking tools, so that's why I don't borrow them. But he's like, man, I lost the axe head. He's like, Elisha, what do I do? And he's like, hold on, we got this. Take me to the place to where you lost it. And they go to the place where he lost it. It's like, man, it's over here. I think it flew off in the river right here. And Elisha takes a stick, a limb off a tree, and he throws it in the water. And it says, once he did that, that the iron axe head began to float. The King James Version said the iron axe head began to swim. And I don't know if you understand physics or science, but axe heads do not float and they do not swim. That's interesting. That's in the Bible. I mean, out of all the miracles that Elisha did, I can understand, you know, healing a leper or raising someone from the dead, or I can understand providing oil for a widow woman, but causing an axe head to float and to swim back to the man who lost him, that's interesting. That's in the Bible. Why did God put that in there? Smack dab, seven verses in there. I think it really tells us that God cares about what we lost. He cares about the things that we've lost in our lives. And oftentimes, we're like, it's too far gone. I'm never going to get that back. It's too far past now. It's buried in the depths of the river. I'm never going to get that back in my life. But God's like, no, it's not too far gone for me. I can recover it. I can resurrect it in your life. I can bring it back to life. It's not too far gone. If you've lost your life, I can recover it. I can resurrect it. If you've lost your purpose, I can recover it. If you've lost your future, I can recover it. And if you lost your zeal and your passion, I can recover it. No matter how big, no matter how small, God knows what we need in our lives before we even say it. He's intimately acquainted with every detail of our lives. Even if it's as insignificant as an axe head, God's like, man, I can raise that back up. And he raises this axe head up and it begins to float. So if we want to get our cutting edge back, I think the first thing we have to do is we have to admit that we've lost it. Admit that we've lost it. This guy that was chopping, he wasn't the only one chopping. There was 50 other guys who were chopping down the trees, but it was due to his neglect that the axe had slipped off. It was loose and he should have tightened it. It was his responsibility to take care of it. And little by little, the thing slipped off. He lost the axe head. It was his responsibility. He could have blamed it on the guy he borrowed from. Said, you know what? He gave it to me. It's his fault. He handed it to me this way. He could have blamed it on the guy he borrowed it from. But once it was in his possession, it was his responsibility. Anytime I blame someone or something else for anything that's lost in my life, I'm never going to recover it again. Anytime we want to blame other people and other things, and we want to be void of personal responsibility. Personal responsibility is not a phrase we like to use nowadays. But I've got to admit that I've lost it. Personal responsibility, it was my fault that I lost it. I neglected it. I let it fly off. It's nobody else's fault but me. I lost my edge, the cutting edge. You know, God, he lights the fire on the altar of our lives, but it's our responsibility to maintain it. He can give us the axe and the axe head, but it's our responsibility to make sure the thing stays sharp. It doesn't go dull. It's our responsibility. If you want to grow, that's your responsibility. If you want to grow you, that's nobody else's responsibility. If you want to grow in the things of God, that is your responsibility. Nobody else's responsibility. I've got to get to a place you said, you know what? I admit, I've become dull. I've lost the cutting edge. Gotten dull in my prayer life, dull in my praise and my worship. There used to be a time where you had to calm me down in worship. But now, like, the medical team's around me checking to see if I have a pulse. What happened? You lost your edge. Lost the passion. Until I admit that I've lost it, I can never recover it. You got to admit that I'm the one that lost it. It's nobody else's fault but mine. It's my responsibility. God's given it to me. And I'd say this, if you've lost your cutting edge, don't continue to go through the motions. Don't continue just to go through the motions. Because when he lost the axe head, he said, he cried out, man, I've lost it. For a lot of people, they continue to go through the motions for days, weeks, months, and years. Just continue to go through the motions. Like, man, I'm just going to keep just going through the motions. I've lost my cutting edge, making no progress in God. Haven't heard the voice of God in years, making no impact. But at least I look good doing it. going through the motions. Nobody knows. Just going through the motions. And that's what a lot of people do. We just continue to go through the motions. If that's you this morning, stop. Take an examination of your life and say, am I growing in Christ? Am I bearing fruit? Am I still gaining ground in God? Am I still passionate about the things of God? Is my love still deep for Jesus, and is it deepening? Is my faith growing? Don't continue just going through the motions, because if you do, you'll only have what you've always had. Stop. Take an examination. It's like, have I gotten dull? Have I lost my passion along the path, along the way? Am I just going through the motions, just going through routine and duty? Is that where I'm at now? Don't continue that way, but stop. Take an examination. Don't go through the motions. What I find interesting is that this young prophet, he lost his axe head just doing what he always did every single day, his daily job. Little by little, the thing slipped off. He was doing good. He was building expansion for the prophets. It wasn't like he was out living a life on his own apart from God, living in sin or something like that. No, he was building expansion for the prophets. He was doing God's work and God's will and God's purpose, but yet he'd still lost his axe head. And that means there's believers that have grown weary while doing good. We get weary while doing good. You know, Galatians 6 says, it says, whatever a man sows, he shall reap. If you sow forgiveness, you're going to reap forgiveness. If you sow mercy, you're going to reap mercy. If you sow finances, you're going to reap finances. But it goes on and says, don't grow weary while doing good. And I think for a lot of us, we've grown weary while doing good. Some of us, we've lost our axe in that place. Where did you lose your cutting edge? It tells me that it might be possible that you can lose your passion while doing the work of God. It's possible you could be doing everything that you think you're supposed to be doing and you still lost your passion. You lost your cutting edge. You know, and say that I was serving and I was giving and I was doing all that stuff. I was on the team and, you know, I just felt like I wasn't making really any difference and I stopped doing that. Or, you know, I was in church every time the doors were open, but I really felt like, you know, it didn't matter if I was there or not. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes, it says this, if the axe loses its effectiveness, it takes that much more effort. That means that when my life becomes dull, it becomes weary, everything becomes a burden. So like next Sunday, I can wake up and say to my spouse, you know, I don't feel like going to church. It's just a burden. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel in front of everything. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like serving. I don't feel like giving. I don't feel like it's everything's a burden when you're in that place. When you've lost your axe head and you're no longer sharp and you've become dull, everything becomes a burden. And it takes that much more effort. But I just believe God's gonna restore our spark and our walk with Christ today where it no longer feels like a burden, but it's a delight. For a lot of people, we're chopping and it's like, why is the wood not moving? Why isn't it going anywhere? God, don't you care? Aren't you seeing what's going on in my life? And God's like, yeah, I do care, but you're just trying to chop down a tree with no axe head. And a lot of times the enemy comes along, he tries to bring condemnation in our lives saying, see, I told you God walked away. God is no longer there. That's the reason why you lost it. And it's important to see that Elisha was with him. He went with the young prophet, which Elisha represents the voice of God in the Old Testament. So he lost the axe head while still being present with God, still being in the presence of God. Because the enemy wants you to come along and say, you know what? God doesn't care. You know, you've lost your passion. You might as well just give up to get you in condemnation, to get you in that place. I think God has forsaken you so you don't continue anymore and to gain any more forward momentum. But don't let the enemy lie to you in that place. So I believe God will restore our spark in him. If you want to regain your cutting edge, you've got to go back to the right place. You've got to go to the right place. It says Elisha, he went to the banks of the Jordan, and that young prophet was there. He's like weeping and probably maybe crying. He's like, man, I've lost it. I can't believe I've done this. I can't believe I've lost this thing. And he's like, take me to the place where you lost it. And maybe he responds like, what does it matter? It's gone. We can't do anything about it now. But he's like, until you take me to the place that you lost it, I can't resurrect it and bring it back to your life. You've got to take me to the place that you lost it. in that place. And he goes back to that place and he recovers the axe head. See, what Elisha understands is this. He understands that the axe head isn't gone. It just fell where it fell. It's just misplaced. It hasn't disappeared. It's just where it fell. And God is asking the question, not how you lost it, but where did you lose it? Where did you lose it? Where did you lose your axe head? That sharpness, your passion. Where did you lose it at? You're saying if God knows where, why is he asking that question? If he's all-knowing, omnipresent, omnipotent, why does God want to know where? Anytime God asks you a question, it's not because he needs to know the answer. He already knows the answer. He does this with Adam in the Garden of Eden. He's like, Adam, where are you? God knew where Adam was, right? But he wanted Adam to know where Adam was. A lot of times God's waiting for us to get honest and say, you know what? Right here is where I lost it, God. Right here is where I stopped getting in your word. Right here is where I stopped praying. Right here in this place is where I lost it, where I lost my passion, where I lost my cutting edges. In this place right here where I lost it, God. What's your here? Until you get honest and take God back to the place where you lost it, he can't resurrect it and recover it back to you. I don't know if you remember when Jesus, when he came back to Mary and Martha and Lazarus had just died, and they sent word for Jesus to come, and he comes back a few days late. He's late, and they're weeping, they're crying. He's like, Jesus, where have you been? Where have you been at? You should have been here. You're too late. And Jesus asked the question, where did you lay him? What does it matter? He's gone. He's already died. We can't do anything about it now. He's like, no, until you take me to the place where you laid him, I can't resurrect him and give him back to you. Until you go back to the place where you lost it with God, God can't resurrect it and recover it and give it back to you. The question is, where did you lose it? And what difficulty did you lose it? What trial did you lose it? And what adversity did you lose it in? In what fight with your spouse did you lose the axe head in? Where did you lose it at? What offense did you lose it in? Oftentimes, those who lose their cutting edge, we know where we lost it. Where did you lose that? Until I go to the right place, I can't recover what I've lost. And it says this, that Elisha, they go to the right place, and he takes a stick from the tree, and he throws it on the water, and that axe head begins to float and begins to swim. What's so significant about a stick, you know? About a piece of wood. It's really something that points to something that's going to happen greater in the future. Because what happened in the Old Testament, there's some examples in the Old Testament where Israel comes out of Egypt, and for 3 days they drank nothing, and they come to the waters of Marah, and the water's undrinkable. They can't drink the water there. So the people are complaining. And Moses goes to God, and God shows Moses a stick, and he says, take that and throw it on the water. He takes it and throws it on the water and makes the bitter waters drinkable. And that's where God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha. I'm the Lord God who heals you. That stick, that piece of wood, points to another piece of wood that's going to erect in the future called Calvary's cross. And at Calvary's cross, that's where the bitter waters of life turn sweet. And that stick that Moses threw on the water is a type and symbol of what's to come through Jesus. Can I just get old school with you for just a moment? Sometimes we got to go back to the foundations. Because 2,000 years ago, there was a tree that they cut down that they made Jesus carry on a hill called Calvary. And they threw down the stick. And whoever finds the cross, whoever encounters the cross, whatever they've lost, they can recover it back again. If you've lost your life, you can recover it back again. If you've lost your mind, you can recover it back again. If you've lost your purpose, you can recover it back again. If you've lost your future, you can recover it back again. There's a tree called Calvary, and he said, I'm going to throw it on the waters of humanity, and it's going to make everything that's bitter turn into sweet, and everything lost is going to be found. And it's through the power and the resurrection of the life of the cross that people can regain their passion again. So if you've lost your passion, lost your zeal, lost that spark, you need to take a fresh look on Calvary this morning. Take a fresh look at what Jesus has done. You don't need anything new. If you want to be restored, if you want to be renewed in your life, just take a fresh look at what Jesus has done on the cross. It says in Isaiah, for those that seek the Lord to return to the rock of which they were hewn. In other words, go back to the beginning. Sometimes we forget in our walk, and we've got to remember what Jesus has done for us. It's in that place where I see his love poured out for me, where he took my place, where he took my judgment, where he took my sin, where he took everything that I deserve and took it upon himself, where he laid his life down for my life, gave everything because he passionately loves me. I go back and I remember that place of what he did at Calvary, and renews my passion for him. It renews my passion for the word. It renews my passion to know the Holy Spirit. When I go back and I look at the cross again and I see his love poured out for me, some of us got to look back at the cross again and see what Jesus has done. Take a fresh look at Calvary this morning. You say, what do I need to do? Do I need to go to church every single day? No, it's not what you do. It's what he did. It's what he did. Saying, just here's my life. I live by your power. I'm passionate because of your passion. It's the zeal of the Lord. And he tells the young prophet, he says, reach out your hand and take it. Reach out your hand and take it. I'm going to do my part, but you got to do your part. Reach out your hand and take it. See, Jesus will resurrect the things that we've lost in our lives. But we've got to walk by faith and reach out and take it. Whatever you need, if you need grace, if you need love, if you need mercy, if you need forgiveness, reach out and take it. It is available. If you need peace, if you need hope, reach out and take it. It's available by the cross today. You have to reach out and take it by faith. That is our part. Reach out and grab a hold of it. If you need passion, if you need zeal, if you need to restore your spark in your walk with Christ today, reach out and take it. God has made it available. I mean, be honest and say, sometimes I've lost my sharpness. I've gotten dull. No one's exempt from it. It can happen to any one of us. And if we're not careful, we can be just like the young prophet, just little by little, it slips off and we lose it, lose that spark. You know, sometimes that happens in relationships. It can happen in marriage. The further time we go, we can lose that spark sometimes. Or in a career where you get used to it and familiar with it, the more mundane it becomes. But I'm just praying for us today that God can restore that spark, that edge and that passion in our lives, that we wouldn't be routine Christians, just doing our duty, going through the motions, but say, you know what? My heart is fully alive. I'm fully alive today. And it's because of what Jesus has done. I don't want to be a Christian that goes through all my life just going through the motions. I look good at least, you know, just going through the motions. I don't want to be that kind of believer. But God, I want you to set my heart on fire. I want you to set me ablaze for you, God. Lord, light the altar, the flame on the altar of my life again. I'm praying that God would do that in our hearts this morning, that he would reignite the flame, that we would return to our first love, that God would restore the spark in our walk with him this morning. God, admit that you've lost it. I did that. That was my responsibility. He lit the flame on the altar of my life, but it's my responsibility to maintain it. I don't want to go through the motions. I got to go sometimes back to the right place where I lost it. Right here, God's where I lost it. In that offense, I lost it. In that adversity, that difficult day, I lost it right there, God. God's like, okay, I can resurrect it and recover it and bring it back in your life from that place.